It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guide.
Welcome. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. First one in August. Bye-bye, July. She gone. And so we're now looking at, Guy, probably you and your kids, if you're listening, are getting ready to go back to school. That it just seems like summer's over when that happens. But anyway, I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking?
I'm still Barbecue Bob.
Yep, you are.
I woke up this morning and looked in the mirror and said, doggone it.
Yeah, right.
Hoping I'd wake up somebody else.
I look like I look.
I see all these guys on TV who are Bobby Flay.
Yeah. Well, we can call you Bobby Barbecue. I'm good with that.
I think Bobby Q is a good one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's probably taken, but maybe not.
You know, that's kind of funny because I registered that name at one time. Anyway, I used to buy a lot of URLs and sites like thegrillingguys.com, and right. I had just tons of them. And that was a thing for a while. You know, you just wanted to grab your territory.
Right.
And now I don't care.
Right. Exactly. There's a lot of other things that are a lot more important than that.
Yeah,
right?
Like playing with grandkids.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So what do you want to talk about this week?
Well, one of the things I did this week was did some meatballs on the grill.
You need to dive into that a little bit because that isn't as easy as it sounds.
No, it's a little tricky, and I should say on the smoker because it's not something you want to turn.
Right.
But if you've never done them, there's devices. You and I have bought each other every device that's ever been made, but
right.
We never use them.
I mean, I got a couple storage boxes full of them.
I know.
Go back to the same two or three things
like
all the time.
It's a great idea. Yeah. It's like, oh, I think Jop would like this.
Yeah.
No. You know what he likes is just having a grill.
Right. Get an opportunity to heat it up and put something on there. Yeah.
Yeah, but so I put some of Sobeys Italian sausage, which is fantastic. If you haven't shopped at Sobeys yet, I don't know why you're still listening to the show, because we're big proponents.
Right, huge.
But the guy's Polish, yet he can make chorizo
right.
like nobody's business. I mean, he makes it for Mexican restaurants.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. Dude knows profiles.
Yeah.
But I've got this place in Detroit I love to go to. It's a fancy Italian place, and they make all their sausages, and I got to meet the owner and his grandsons and sons who work there, and I got the royal tour of the place, and they're just masters of Italian food. And I was just longing for some of it, and I thought, I just got to find some good Italian sausage in Grand Rapids. And I was in Sobeys, of course, one week, and I talked to Tim, and I said, you make Italian sausage? And he looked at me like I had three heads.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He does that quite often.
Well, it's the questions you ask him.
Well, you know, I think of him as being so Polish, you know? It's like, of course, your kibasa is the greatest in
Well, you're a
Michigan.
Finlander, but I've eaten a lot of things that aren't Finnish off your grill, all right?
I don't even know anything that's Finnish in terms of food. Their food is so boring. But anyway, I took it home, his sweet and his hot, and it was great. So I took that sweet and I mixed it with some of my ground beef from the freezer and made these meatballs with my wife's meatloaf recipe, basically, which is pretty simple. Everybody makes it kind of the same. And then I made her a beautiful Italian dinner with tomatoes from the garden, and it was fantastic. It was just so nice to have just something a little different. You know, it's not something I do much. I'm doing this intermittent fasting.
Right.
So my diet's all screwed up.
Yeah.
I can eat what I want, but between 10 and 6.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, if I serve dinner at 5:30, I can still eat pasta.
Right, yeah.
Back to that, intermittent fasting, it's so cool. We've all heard about it. I mean, it's kind of a trend maybe or a thing.
It hasn't come through my home yet.
Like zero carbs and, you know.
You know, not eating seems very popular these days.
For a grilling guy?
Well, we're so fat.
Hello, this is the diet show. We're glad you're listening.
No, but the thing is, all of us want to drop a couple pounds.
Sure.
And in 2 weeks, I've lost 10 pounds.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is it breaks your habits or your paradigms or your, you know, what you normally do. And what you normally do isn't helping you lose any weight. You say, oh, I won't eat that extra, this or that. But I don't know quite the science behind it. All I know is that, and I can't eat until 10 o'clock in the morning. And that broke me from the getting up and, oh, I have to eat. No, I really don't, because I make it just fine. And then I have my first break at work around 10:30, and I have whatever I'm going to have. Now I don't feel like I have to have quote-unquote breakfast, because breakfast to me is ham and eggs, bacon and eggs.
Right, you know,
it's all that stuff that it's just a habit.
Right.
It's not.
Yeah,
so,
it's a good habit, though. I'm just
I love
say,
it.
Yeah.
I love
it.
It's
my favorite meal of the day is breakfast. And I don't get it every day. But when I do, I enjoy it.
Right. And if it's the weekend and you're going to go out for breakfast with a bunch of people, it's 10 o'clock before you get to eat anyway. So you're not breaking any paradigms there.
Right.
And you're not breaking the rules. But anyway, 10, maybe 12 pounds now in 2 weeks.
Cool.
And that just, it's inspiring. You know, when you start losing weight, you got to keep up whatever you're doing because, I don't know.
If it works.
Yeah, I don't like my clothes not fitting. I don't like having to buy new clothes for an event because my pants are too tight or my suit doesn't fit anymore, you know.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
So anyway, I just thought that was kind of cool. It's a little different. But, you know, I think we should talk a little bit about our website because thegrillinguys.com, I turn people onto it almost every day. And because I just run into people that don't know about the show or don't maybe know about Jethro. A lot of people listen to country music in the Grand Rapids market or other markets, and they haven't tuned into Jethro yet.
Right.
And I tell them about my experience, and that is that I got in my wife's car, and she had it on. And I was just really liking it. This was before we came with you guys. This is when we talked about, you know, what Conrad brought to the show when he came and all that stuff. And we started thinking about moving from a certain network to this one.
Right.
And anyway, but our website is, it's a resource. This isn't a promo. We do sell stuff on it, but it's not like we're trying to be, you know, some big news network or something that selling.
We're a long ways from that. I'm going to tell you that right now. Yeah, right. Yeah. No, yeah. We promote our sponsors stuff because I would clarify we don't sell anything that's Grilling Guys proper.
Right.
But our,
and we should.
Well, people have said that too. We delved into that a couple
Everybody
times.
Everybody says that.
Yeah, right.
You should have your own barbecue sauce. Yeah, I tried that.
Right, yeah. Or seasonings. No, we're good.
No, but the point is all of our sponsors are on that site.
Exactly.
And if you look on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see all of our sponsors. And if you click on their logo, it'll bring you to whatever they have on sale. Like I just noticed ThermaWorks just had a whole new round of sales and stuff they're launching right now. And that is just a wonderful product. And I mean, they're just great sponsors for us and they partner. And best thing is their products are fantastic. I have given away more ThermaPens. It's just the best gift you can give somebody.
Right. They're on sale right now too.
I know.
They're like $59, which is about $40, $50 off. And,
from when we started, they were $99 for the basic pen. And what it is it's a temperature probe, and it's got this, I don't know, it looks like kind of like a big knife or something, but you pull this needle-type device out, which is like a thermistor or something, and you poke it in your meat, and it gives you a read in 1 second now.
Right.
They were 3 seconds when we bought the originals.
Right. And why that's so important is that you don't, if you're using your smoker, you don't lose a bunch of heat.
Right.
You can just get in there, take a quick temp. And I've got the same company makes remotes that'll talk to your phone or a little fob
it's
that they'll give
smoke.
You. Right.
Yeah. Yep. I don't use mine that much, but the old pen just seems to work.
Yeah. I just I do mine because I start cooking overnight and I want to know when I got to get up and wrap stuff. So
wrap yourself up before you go out and check your fire.
Coming up next, we might be talking a little bit of yard bird. If that's chicken and other things that run around your yard, you're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Andy Havemeyer, operating owner of Wealthy Street Bakery, where we're more than just pastries. Open from 6:30 to 9, Monday through Saturday, and 8 to 3 on Sundays. You can enjoy a fresh pastry in the morning, a hearty sandwich for lunch, or a delicious brick oven pizza for dinner. Whether you're into coffee and tea, beer or wine, our drink menu is sure to have something for everyone. We hope to see you soon. Don't forget to check out our sister location, Hall Street Bakery, on the corner of Hall and Fuller. Check out our menus online at WealthyStreetBakery.com and also at HallStreetBakery.com.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Now hit me!
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, I hope you're having a great weekend already. We're in August, July, goodbye, and I hope you had a lot of fun in July, but August is the best month of the year to grill because we got it in front of us right now. And I had a big catering gig over the weekend, last weekend, and it was wonderful. The host was just a very, very nice guy. But what I want to talk about was he wanted three meats. He wanted brisket, he wanted pulled pork, and he wanted chicken thighs, skinless, boneless chicken thighs. Now, I do, the brisket was a big hit. It always is. The pulled pork, not so much. Chicken thighs.
When you bring brisket out, the pulled pork usually gets offended.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. But the chicken thighs, I just wanted to share, there's a marinade that I get online. I imagine you could find it in a store somewhere, but it's called Mr. Yoshida, and it's kind of like a sweet...
You like that stuff,
it's like
you?
Well, people like it. That's mm-hmm. where I was going to go. It's like a sweet teriyaki.
Oh, yeah.
Is what it is, and I just put the skinless, boneless chicken thighs in a 2-gallon Ziploc bag and put as many of them in there as I can get and then fill the bag up and then zip it shut.
Right.
And let them marinate for 2-3 hours.
On the counter?
No. They're in the refrigerator. And I flip it a couple times because when you lay it down flat, the marinade goes to the bottom and
right.
the one's on
you
top.
Right. You got to move it around. If it's in a Ziploc or your cryovac it or anything, you got to
right.
you got to kind of massage it so that marinade gets all yeah. throughout the meat.
So... took them out of the bag when it was ready to cook them, and this was an hour away, the event was, so I had timed it, so I got them off the smoker like 15 minutes before we were going to drive out the driveway.
So you smoked them instead of grilled them?
I did, and because there were so many of them, I was feeding 75 people.
You got to have a big grill if you're going
right.
to do that
yeah.
much.
Yeah, so we've got the big trailer smoker, and I had 2 racks full of them, and put them in there at about 275 for about an hour and 45 minutes. And they temped out right at 165 degrees. And I put them in just 2 hotel pans, right? Sealed them up, threw them in the Cambro, and we drove up there. Well, they sweat a little bit on the way up, right?
Yes.
The pan was dry. But when we got there, there was like 1/4 inch of juice in the bottom of the pan. Perfect. Because what I did is when we served them, we rolled them every couple minutes to get them juicy. But they were also shiny, right, with that juice that was on there. And people, the one lady commented, she goes, these things look too good to eat. And I'm like, nailed it, right?
Yeah.
And but they were very good. They were very moist. But 2 things I wanted to mention is that you can hold them because it was an hour drive up there. They were perfectly hot if you got a good.
Did you put them in a Cambro?
Yes. Yep.
And it looks like a small refrigerator box or of
right.
sorts, but it's insulated. It's a cooler that has a swing open door like a tiny
right.
refrigerator.
And there's grooves on the side where you can slide pans
yeah,
in and
your
stack
trays
them
fit in.
Yep. So they're, you know, it's kind of a catering item, but anyway, I got 4 of them. So took a couple of those up there and it was just neat to hear that comment. But it took an ordinary kind of boring chicken thigh and raised it up a notch. But I think I brought, because I always bring a little extra, I think I had 100 of them, right, that I brought up there. They ate
everyone. For 80 people?
Yeah, right.
Holy cow.
Yeah, and they ate every one
100
of them.
100 thighs.
Yeah, yeah. And they ate every one of them.
For 80 people?
Yeah.
No wonder the pulled pork didn't get
well, they ate some of it. I mean, there was a bunch of guys there, and they ate most of everything, but.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
I got to do 200 people next weekend for my buddy's kid's wedding. And I was trying to figure out how many thighs I should bring up.
You know, if you're doing more than one meat, you probably shouldn't.
I'm only doing pulled pork and chicken.
Yeah, well.
I don't want to run out. And these are kids. They're paying for a bunch of it themselves. So I'm trying to be as careful as I can with the pricing. I don't want to lose money.
Right.
But I also don't want to ruin his wedding.
Right.
You know?
Well, yeah. I get it. But one for one. Because they were about the size of a deck of cards, okay? And if they were the big ones, I cut them in half. So I had 100 pieces.
Okay.
But I try to serve
some of them are really big. When you get a skinless, boneless thigh.
Yeah.
We get ours from Sobeys. You do too.
Right.
Some of them are really big. And did you cut them in half before you smoked them?
I did. And even before I marinated them.
Okay.
Because I want all edges to be covered, right?
So in that case.
I might have had 70. 60.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
But
how many pounds was that? 30?
Yeah.
He sells them in 10-pound bags.
Right. Yep.
Did you have 3 bags?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about 5 or 6 bags. So that's about right.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll be up in Reed City next Saturday night feeding a bunch of my friends' family.
Yeah.
And they're just a wonderful family. The guy's name is Brian Allen. His son is Daniel. And I've known the kid since he was a baby, right?
Yeah.
And Brian's dad was the State Farm agent.
Okay.
So everybody knew Dick Allen.
Yeah.
And him and his brothers are kind of legendary people around the area. But it'll be so fun to be up there.
Yeah.
That Reed City manager that's looking for you, I'll get a chance to see you.
Yeah, great. Just tell him I said hi. Yeah. So how do you think you're going to do your chicken? I mean, that was one way to
do it. Well, I like to use that Italian dressing I get at Costco. It's like Tita's or Tita's, something like that.
That's not really Italian.
No, it's not Italian. It's a fattoush dressing.
Right.
It's a Lebanese style. Right.
Yep.
And it's made over in the Detroit area, like up around Troy. But I'm running low, so I hope Stan can hook me up with a few more bottles.
Right. Well, I can. I mean, I'm a Costco member.
I am too.
Yeah.
I don't know when it's in stock. You know how they are. They sometimes will have
you got to go up and down
million,
the aisles.
A million or something.
That's but Costco.
When you said Yoshido, Mr. Yoshido's, where'd you get that?
Online. Ah. So I order it online, and it comes in a day. It must be in a warehouse somewhere around here. Because it doesn't take them long to get it to me, but I use that a lot.
Are we going to talk about chicken kebabs or not?
I don't know. See, that's up to you.
Conrad, isn't that exactly what I said?
But, yeah.
I said, it doesn't really matter what I put on the show plan because
we
wander around like we do when we're deer hunting.
Yeah,
driving the back roads with a six-pack.
Yeah, the thing is, Big Brown is gone. We don't have her anymore.
We don't drive with a six-pack. Yeah. That was a joke.
Right.
Sure,
we didn't have to call a wrecker.
Right? No, we were found.
We were.
I'm going to start taking notes.
Oh my gosh! So what I was going to say is, for something like a larger group, if you want to do maybe not chicken kebabs, but you could, if you have a smoker and a grill. Try smoking it first for a little bit and then using your grill to finish it off and bring it up to temp.
Yep.
It's a really nice way, especially with chicken in particular. You're always worried about the temperature.
Right.
And pork, maybe not so much, but chicken in particular, I kind of freakish about temperature. And
if you're doing kebabs, make sure to separate the vegetables from the chicken because if you pack them in there real tight, it's really hard for the heat to get to the center of the chicken. And you might burn the outside of it.
I've been doing it wrong all along.
No, you haven't. But my point is I've built kebabs before and I packed them on because I'm like, I want to get as much on there as I can.
You can't
just don't cook good.
You can't even spell kebab.
Right. Yeah. Okay. You have that URL too?
I'll tell you how many times I've misspelled it.
Yeah.
I right now, if you get a chance, you should hoard as many Vidalia onions as possible because they're just about off the market.
Yep.
And when you talk about kebabs,
yeah,
that's a must.
It's a great sweet onion on there. Coming up next, we're going to put a little beer can up your chicken. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fen Valley Vineyards.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rigged, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put
welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend, man. I hope that you are got a big old barbecue or some grilling planned because it's the dead of summer, and if you aren't doing it now, you're really not a grilling guy. So get some people together and enjoy this beautiful Michigan weather that we have and you know, make some smoke in your neighborhood, right?
That's right. So last segment, We got to touch on everything we wanted to touch on, but the chicken kebabs, that was something that was really, to me, I mean, I don't know how long I've been grilling, 40 years maybe? Well, no, I was doing it even over in Hawaii, so
long time.
All my adult life, I'm 67 now, by the way.
I know.
Isn't that something?
Damn, he's old.
Dang.
No wonder he's smarter than me. He's older than me, right?
No, yeah. I think you get dumber, actually. So, yeah, we used to do chicken on little hibachis.
Yeah.
You ever use one of those?
Yeah, not too
remember
often.
Remember those? They were yeah. they were made. They came out of
fold up charcoal grill.
No, they were cast iron.
In the 70s.
Yeah, yeah. They were cast
they
iron.
Were tiny.
They were, but I think they came out of Taiwan, basically, like the Kamados did, the big green egg and stuff
right.
like that. Those all came out of Taiwan at the time. So in Hawaii, being a young GI, that was a big purchase. I think we had to spend $30 for one.
Right.
So we would literally take them to the beach, wherever we were.
Yep.
We'd bring our charcoal, and we'd, of course, always doing teriyaki. So we'd have chicken teriyaki. We'd do kebabs.
Yeah.
And I don't remember ever checking the temperature, and we never got sick.
Right. Well, iron gut at that age.
Yeah. yeah. But a kebab and a chicken kebab in particular, you said something in the last segment that was interesting. And I didn't want to disagree with you because I used to think the same way too, but I don't know that. I guess now what I've come to like is because I love Vidalia onions and I talk about them incessantly, I do love when that Vidalia onion or pepper rubs up against the chicken and they sort of cook together.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So if you're using a lower heat, you can keep your meat. And here's the other thing. I'm usually feeding a big bunch of people, as you are. So if I spread my food out too much on that skewer, I don't have enough skewers or enough grill space, you know. So
I don't want a space between them, but I just want them jammed together. That's all I said. You can't don't just pack them on there so they're so tight they can touch. But you got to get the chicken done. That was the point.
Yeah, and I think my remedy to that has been to use a lower temperature because I do tend to pack them in. And
so you can leave them on there longer.
I don't want the chicken to burn.
Right.
That's the big question.
Right.
So if you do your vegetables a little bigger and your meat proteins a little smaller.
It'll work.
Or you tofu or whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
yeah. Famous story about
right.
Josh.
Just to see if we're paying attention. He'll throw something in.
He brought up tofu and I used to do it with Gray or whatever his name was. Mm-hmm. And oh man, he lit you up because you were trying to be interesting and you just said, yeah, and you can do tofu. Oh my God. He lit you up. But we did have.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Who knew,
right? Yeah. You'd never even eat that. You didn't know how to spell that either.
Nor cook it.
But we did an event somewhere and there were those guys from India next
to
us.
That was at Fen Valley.
Yeah. That tofu, whatever they put on it, was some kind of a harissa or a.
Redemption is what I'm talking, what I'm Indian, hearing right now.
It had an Indian spice on it. I tried it. It was good.
Yeah.
Wow.
It looked like meat. It looked like chicken.
Yeah, it looked like meat.
It looked like bloody chicken.
Yeah.
So back to the kebabs.
No, let's leave the kebabs alone. How about we go to the beer can?
No. One thing you don't want to do is try and do it with chicken breasts.
Right.
They just if you have skinless, boneless breasts, especially depending on what you're using for a grill or whatever, they're gonna stick.
Right, and they're gonna dry out,
and it tears them apart. So back to the skinless, boneless thighs. I don't know how there's any chickens walking with all the thighs we sell.
I know. I love it. I love it. So what about a whole chicken? Because I think there's a lot of listeners out there that probably do beer can chickens, or they would like to do one, but they don't really understand it.
Well, we can do that. Is that this segment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Aren't we in segment three? And we already blew through
two segments.
Yes, we have.
Good.
I think Bob wants to talk about kebabs.
No. It's just got my name in it.
Okay.
Yeah, whole chickens. When I started selling grills retail back in 2000, I brought in a line called Phoenix, and that was it was really a slap you in the face to the Holland Grill, because Holland Grill was famous. Did you ever hear of them or see them?
Yeah.
It had one knob, you could turn it on. And it had a burner pan under the grates, and basically it was like baking your food. It would only get to about 350. You would torture a steak if you tried to do it. But the guy did such a good job at selling them, he set up dealers all over the place. Well, his manufacturer was over in South Carolina, or North Carolina, and he pulled it from him and went to Mexico. So the guy's like, hey, I've got all the dyes and everything to make this grill. How about if I just make it myself? So he went to all the Holland Grill dealers and said, if you could redo this grill and make it better, what would you do? And they all said the same thing. Dual zones, make two burners, and make it variable so you can crank the heat up. So he did, and he came out with a grill he called the Phoenix. Sun is, you know, the rising.
From the ashes.
Yes.
Yeah. Rise from the ashes.
And I sold those, and that's when I really got into, I guess, grilling in a big way, because my rep was really good. He's still a friend. And he just sold me on it, and I tried it, and it worked. Mm-hmm. And that's also when I first discovered the Sizzler. And so I used to do events down at the store. It was in Ada. It was called Fireplaces Plus, and loved selling grills. And I loved feeding people. That was the thing. But that thing would get up to 600 degrees, and it never caught on fire. And that's when I discovered beer can chickens.
Yeah.
It's a long way
to
get to
that story. I knew we were
going to
get to there somewhere, but.
Wow.
It's memory lane.
Doesn't everybody have one of those buddies that the joke's too long before you get to the punchline?
Wow. It's like cooking GPS.
It's really not a joke. It's just I find history fascinating, and you see how you develop in the grilling world or your cooking skills, and a lot of us learn it from our mothers.
Back to the chicken, Bob. How do we do a beer can chicken? We got 2 minutes.
I don't even know.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
So that's when I discovered the beer can holder for chicken.
Right.
And the first one I did was on that Phoenix, and it was. When I opened up the lid after like an hour to go check it, I looked at it and I could hear the angels singing.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, oh, my goodness. And that was a grill in particular that had a tall enough lid that you could actually stand a chicken up on.
Right.
That's another big deal.
Yep.
But now everybody sells that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Big Green Egg has their own accoutrement for it.
Oh, you know, a lot of them do.
It's ceramic and.
Yeah, it's just a little stand, and you can put, there's usually a ring in it and to open the cavity of the chicken up, but you also put a beverage of some sort, a liquid of some sort in there because the concept is they're cooking the ambient temperature from the grills on the outside, but you're steaming them on the inside.
I think the first guy that did it probably cut the lid off a can of beer,
right,
and stood his chicken on it.
Yeah, yep. And because obviously that liquid, whatever you use, you can use orange juice, you can use beer, certainly.
And the concept was beer.
Right, yep.
They called it beer butt chicken.
Right, because the back end of the cavity of the chicken, you set it up, it's setting on its tail, the two legs are down. I would only make my recommendation is you want to do that on indirect heat, because if you do it right over the grill where it's hot, you're going to burn the bottom, the thighs, and the legs, and before the breast gets done on top, so you want indirect heat.
And that's why that Phoenix was so nice, because it had that pan above the burner, and it came off as a V, so your heat actually sort of tumbled around the grill, and
it
really did a wonderful job. It's still made, I believe MHP out of Rockford, Illinois, owns that copyright now and makes those, and you're going to spend $1,500 for it. It's not going to be cheap.
Yeah, but it lasts.
Oh, they're wonderful.
You're right. Yep. And anything else in life, you get what you pay for. Generally, there are some ripoffs.
You still see them around, but you never see the Holland grill around. So here's to you for taking your product to Mexico.
Right, exactly. Many companies have done that. And now they're all coming back, which is a good thing.
How about that?
All right, you're listening to Grilling Guys. Coming up next, we're going to maybe talk about chicken breast.
God only knows.
Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
If you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats, where our staff is always friendly and they all know our creed. Come on down to Sobey's and let us meet your needs. We have kielbasa, kapusta, chicken, pork, and beef, seafood and hot sticks, a snack that can't be beat, dairy and deli, groceries, beer, and wine. And once you shop at Sobey's, you'll shop there all the time.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. Please stop by to see Teresa and myself and the whole gang for good old-fashioned service at 3450 Remembrance Road. Make sure you visit SobeyMeats.com for our specials, and thank you for your support.
So when you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats. And if you're really satisfied, there's one way we can tell. When you leave the store, make sure you ring our bell.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys. Thanks for the ride, man. We were all over on that one, but
I'll take the blame.
Bob's history lessons. You enjoyed it. I mean,
sorry. The older you get, the more you like to reminisce.
Right.
You should go to deer camp.
I've sat here with you for many of those years as you got older. I'm painfully aware of that.
Yeah. Well, at least I can remember stuff.
Right. That's good. That's a good thing. Right. So last segment here, and I wanted to talk about the rest of the bird. This is the hardest piece of chicken to grill for me is a skinless, boneless chicken breast. They are, to me, everybody thinks they're the best cut on the bird. To me, they're okay. And I work my tail off not to dry them out, and then you still get some of it dried up.
Well, that's an invention, too, isn't it? I mean, do you remember, again, talking, I hate to diss my dad so much, but it's what mom did.
Hang on, put your seatbelt on. We're going back in history again.
Well, isn't it your mom that taught you most what you know about food?
Yeah.
Did your dad grill for you?
No.
No?
No, my dad never got anywhere near the kitchen.
My dad bought my mom a grill.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I'll never forget having a gas grill and watching my mom on it.
Well, Conrad did that for his wife, too.
Well, Conrad brought up something really interesting about his wife. You want to throw her under the bus?
Yeah, sure. She's at a scrapbooking weekend.
She's way out of signal zone.
That's all.
She doesn't podcast either.
Yeah. So it's just that she always overcooks our chicken. You know, it's always chewy. It's always dry.
What's the typical cut? Does she do a whole bird?
No, that would be breasts.
It'd be sure. Breasts. Yeah. Are they skin on?
No.
See, and that's back to that thing. That's an invention. I don't remember younger ever seeing a skinless, boneless chicken on my plate.
Right.
It didn't happen. You had, I mean, your whoever cooked for you roasted a chicken, or
right.
You went to the restaurant and you got chicken.
Yep.
It had the skin on it. So you're creating something that never used to be. So I think that's a good topic.
Well, the skin is an insulator, and it there's fat between the muscle, the chicken breast, and the skin that keeps moisture in there. And it just is, it needs to be there to baste, because if you cook the chicken till it's done, pretty much the fat has been rendered off and it ended up in a pan below or into your grill or wherever it ended up. But when you don't have that on there, it's really hard to keep them moist when you're cooking them, and you end up with what Conrad just said. Is my chicken's always dry and chewy.
So you're saying that your wife does chicken breasts mostly, if yeah. she does anything. So I'm guessing she buys the bag of frozen chicken breasts like a lot of people do.
Sure.
And they're skinless, boneless.
Right.
That's a recipe for disaster.
Right.
You know,
I
those
would agree.
Things, for one, they're frozen, so you've already dehydrated them a bit.
Yep.
I mean, you know, what you could do or a favor is pull them out in advance, like a day early, and marinate them for, and then she might produce something that, you know,
a little juicier.
You can swallow instead of yep. having to wash it down with
you
a
could,
beer.
So you could do a brine on those too, and the difference between a marinade and a brine is salt.
You know,
and that salty water will penetrate the piece of meat and bring moisture into it. Be careful not to use too much salt. Look it up, a brine on there, but like a cup of salt and a gallon of water is a lot of salt.
Well,
so,
yeah.
You know,
and,
you don't want that much.
I consider the real difference between a marinade and a brine to be the brine is typically just water, salt, sugar.
Right.
Right. Whereas a marinade, you always have all sorts of other things in there to bring a profile. And a brine's just going to hydrate it. So Job's absolutely right. Even a brine would be okay. But she's probably wanting to put a profile of some sort on it anyway.
She the thing is she likes her chicken well done. She likes everything well done.
She's afraid to poison herself yeah. or you.
Or the kids.
Yeah.
So
yep.
I totally get it.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And you're not going to die if it's not fully cooked. You're
yeah,
going to get a little bit of a gut ache maybe. But
right.
you don't. If you're, buy her a thermopen. Does
yeah.
she have a thermopen?
No, she does not.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll have to get
her
one.
Let's
hook
up
that's the next gift.
Let's
for,
hook up yeah. Mrs. Conrad right. because that's just not right.
Yeah. Conrad, would you take it? Would you take it home to her if we gave
yeah.
it to you?
Would you sell it on the black market?
You know, we're running out of time.
yeah.
So no. let's talk about
But I want to touch on the brine versus marinade.
Okay.
He's spot on. The marinades are better. You got to leave the chicken in there a little longer than you do in a brine because they're not as salty. But you can go to the grocery store anywhere and go like where there's barbecue sauce. There'll be a whole bunch of marinades,
oh my goodness.
Too.
You go to Sobeys, you can find
right. yeah.
50
yep.
different marinades.
Right,
yep.
And look at them, read them, see what's in them because they're just there to put some flavor on.
Or you can go to thegrillingguys.com, go up to the search bar in the top right,
yeah.
and you can just punch in marinade. And
you'll
find a bunch of them.
Right.
We've done them for decades on this show.
Like that Mr. Yoshida stuff that I talked about in the earlier segments,
yeah.
that's a marinade.
I've okay. never tried that. I've,
yep.
I've never had anybody even
wax
give
on,
me
wax
food.
Off.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, exactly. Flavor on. But anyway, moving on.
Everything in our life, I need to balance.
Right.
yeah. There we go. History.
Yeah.
That's Karate Kid right there.
Yeah. It never stops. It just never stops.
So
it's like an old married couple.
So
what it is.
So chicken breasts. I think what I love to do with them is skin on, bone on.
I would agree.
I think it just produces a better product. And I don't eat the chicken skin.
Right.
People tend to love it, but I'll cook them with the bone down first, and I'm going to marinate them a little bit. But I'm going to cook them bone down until they're almost to the point to where I'm afraid I've ruined them. You know, I'm going to get them as dark as I can because that bone side, bottom side is going to, that's going to be the part of the chicken that's going up against that bone that's going to be the hardest to penetrate the heat, right?
Right.
So I want to get as much heat there as I can. Also, what happens then is my skin is on top, and as I'm cooking that breast on a medium to lower heat on the grill, direct heat, what happens is the skin, you said it's a wrap. It's not only a wrap, but it is coated with fat.
Yep.
And what you're doing is you're forcing that chicken fat to meld into the chicken. And if you want to do your wife a favor, start buying her chicken breasts with skin on, bringing them home, and let her, she probably bakes them.
Yeah.
Yeah, let her bake them that way. And just coach her through it. Bone down.
Most awkward segment I've had on Bone the Grilling
down.
Guys right here talking about my wife's cooking. Shame on me. Shame on me.
Well, I don't want you choking on chicken.
Right. Oh. And she doesn't listen. And so we're good.
No.
Yeah.
Most women with any grace and dignity don't.
Do you ever hear of Facebook boys? I'm busted.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Right. Yeah. She might do that.
I won't call you out.
Right. So chicken breast is good. Everybody, it's very, very popular. But it's not my favorite cut. I'm back to the thighs, right? Because they're moist and they're almost indestructible. Where the chicken breast, you can go from pretty good to dry in a hurry.
Except when you're at KFC.
Yeah. Right.
Then I want the breast.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they do. I can't identify most of the parts
it's called
they
deep
serve.
Fry.
Anyway.
It's called deep fry.
There's another term
pressure,
for it.
They use a pressure cooker.
A term for that. It's deep frying under pressure. And I can't remember what they call those cookers right now, but that's what gives them that tenderness.
Yep.
It's deep frying, but it's in a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
And don't try it at home if you don't have one.
No,
yeah, I don't know how they get their crispy on it, then. They must run them through an oven after that part's done.
No, it's deep frying. It's high temperature, high pressure.
Okay.
And it's like seconds. You throw them in there and they're done in like 2 minutes.
Yep. Never worked in a KFC. Don't know how that process works.
No. Yeah.
So there's a listener out there.
But
right now.
I do love the breasts.
Yep.
Okay.
I still fall for it.
Okay. Yeah.
Don't you love breasts?
Okay. We got
You've
1 minute.
Met my wife.
We got 1 minute left, boys.
Do we?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Back to the breasts.
Right.
So there's a little something I like to call chicken steak, which I throw on my catering menus.
Right.
And I take skinless, boneless thighs, and I think it's called titus or Titus, or it's this Lebanese fattoush dressing that they sell at Costco, and I'll marinate those thighs in that, and then I'll grill them.
Yep.
And I used to call that chicken steak. I still do, and it's that marinade and grilling it, not smoking it, grilling it. I'm telling you, it's a wonderful, wonderful.
Yep, gives it a little crispy profile.
Oh, yeah. God, they're so good. My mouth's watering.
Good. Well, hey, you have been listening to The Grilling Guys.
Otherwise known as a train wreck.
I apologize for today's show.
I don't. I'm proud of it.
I know you are, and that's why I keep apologizing. One of us has to relate to the listener.
Well, one of you has to relate to, you know, the boring guy.
All right. Get out in your backyard, fire up a grill, create some grill envy in your neighborhood, and we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.